Welcome to the Capurian Commentary Podcast. This is Dustin Messer. I will be your host for today's episode. I'm not with Yuri Brito, per usual. I am instead on the campus of Legacy Christian Academy, where I teach, and I'm privileged to teach with Will Weaver. Will, how are you?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. A couple of years ago at Capurian, I interviewed, I think, three teachers on going back to school. So it was the end of summer, and I was saying, like, how do you prepare for fall? And it's kind of like, you know, on Sunday nights, whenever you're getting all your stuff ready to go to work on Monday. But you and I are sitting here. It's the last day we will come to campus until the fall, at least at the same time. And it struck me that preparing for Monday is one thing, but preparing for Sunday is a different sort of thing. So we're about to prepare for a couple of months off. So I thought it'd be cool to just talk about summers. So what are you going to do this summer?
Man, a little bit of everything. I think you're right in saying it is kind of like preparing for Sunday. It has a totally different set of things, and there's some more freedoms there, but there's still, you know, things that have to get done and a different mindset and attitude. So in summers, I have a second job. I coach some summer league, rec league swimming in the summer, and there's time with family. But and also, you know, even now, already thinking about next year, the next school year, and what needs to be done, what can be done better, and so there's a preparation even now, you know, to get ready for the next school year, and then but looking forward to the time with family and
some rest. And you were, so before coming to Legacy, teach in the Bible department here, Legacy. Before doing that, you're the dean at a classical school, you're in administration. What's the difference between a summer for an administrator and a summer for a teacher? I would think being a teacher is way better in the summer.
All the difference in the world. How about that? It's most of the time for an administrator, there almost is no summer. I mean, it is, especially if you're at a smaller school, like where I was at, where you're wearing several different hats and you are have a bunch of different responsibilities. There's not a whole lot in, you know, marked out downtime, because even as early as, you know, spring break, you're already getting ready for the next school year and earlier than that. But I mean, really from that last quarter of the school year, you kind of have your foot in both years. Cause that you can't leave that stuff for the summer. You need to know who's returning, who's on your team. You need to know what they're doing and, everything that needs to be taken care of, everything the teachers need before they go to summer. And then, you know, the summer is still work.
So, yeah. You know, so here's, and for a teacher, it's like, if someone asks you as a teacher, like, is the summer off? Like, on the one hand, of course it is off because you're not coming or anything, but another way you're working. And as I think about, and you've been teaching longer than I have, but as I think of people who I started teaching with several years ago, who aren't teaching anymore, it seems like they broadly fall under two categories. There's some teachers who just push themselves and push themselves and push themselves and really just burned out.
Right.
And they were exhausted, and they're not teaching anymore. And then there's some teachers who probably enjoyed being with kids and you know, found some of the subjects interesting and so forth. But they really were just never able to, like, master the knowledge. And it's not so much that they burnt out. It's that they rusted out, or excuse me, they didn't rust out. Yeah, they rusted out. They didn't burn out. They rusted out. They just never, like, got to be a master of their subject field. And I think about that in terms of summer, because I think there are some teachers who probably are just going to do a ton of study over the summer and a ton of research and then come back not rested at all. But then they're like, the other danger, I guess, would be just watching Netflix all day and coming back 30 pounds heavier and, you know, and not like having, you know, and rusting out. So what's the balance? Like, as you think of your summer, how much reading will you do versus how much rest, and how do you balance that?
So, I mean, it's interesting you would mention that. I mean, in our meeting this morning, discussing our growth goals for next year and what we want to do. So I started this process, you know, and I do it before I get into summer, every summer, because I have more time and I want to be intentional with it. You know, I have two kids, I have a wife, I need to, there's time that needs there, and I look forward to that so very much. At the same time, it's a chance to renew and refresh and, you know, to refill. So I put together a reading list before I head into summer, and I intentionally, because I love to read, but I want to be intentional about finding a balance between things that are professional, having to do with my craft of teaching, things that have to do with my subject material, identifying weaknesses in, you know, things that I don't know as much about as I want to or need to. And so identifying some things I can do there and some things that are just purely for, you know, my enjoyment, classics that I've missed. Or
you're reading Frankenstein right now, right?
Yeah, I actually finished last night.
Wow.
Yes, really enjoyed it.
Don't tell me how it ends. I watched The Munsters last night. It's similar.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, with subtitles.
You got the gist.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what year is this for you teaching? What did you just wrap up?
This was my 8th or 9th year.
Okay. So it was a decade of teaching. How do you remember the end of your first year of teaching?
I do.
What's the difference between ending your 9th year of teaching versus ending your first year of teaching? Like, how do you feel way more confident? I would surely you feel more confident.
I do, but it's interesting because it's kind of the same mindset that I end up having when I think back on, you know, being married for 13 years or having done these other things. I look at who I was and what I was doing then, and I realize how little I actually knew at the time. And there's a humility to it because, you know, I don't want to think, you know, if you'd asked me at the time, I probably would have said, man, I'm a great husband and I did a pretty good job this first year of teaching. And I look back a decade later and there are so many things that I could have done better in terms of being a husband and being a teacher. And so I know now almost a decade in, I'm going to look back on myself as a teacher when I'm 20 years in and think, wow, how much there's so much I didn't know. Wish I could have, you know, done that better. I know that I'm doing the best that I can, but
yeah. And it seems to me like the ability to be a good teacher. So the advice, and maybe we can link to this in the notes, is when I interviewed, who was it? I can't remember which teacher it was. I interviewed a few teachers. And one of the teachers said the trick to starting the fall is, he says, I've taught 30 years. He said, but I haven't taught. He said some teachers teach 1 year 30 times. Mm. In other words, it's almost like a plug and play thing, you know, and they get up there and they do their, like, the same like their cultural illustration, like has to do with Bob Hope or something.
Right.
It's like totally.
It's canned. And
Yeah. And he said, you know, I don't teach 1 year 30 times. I teach 30 different years. And the ability to be a good teacher is like looking back over, you know, your career, but specifically your life, your past week, and tweaking it. Was there anything this past year, and I can guarantee whatever your list is, mine's longer, that you look back and you say, man, I wish I could have done that differently? Or like, were there any kinks that you think next year you're going to work out better? Like, what, just looking over this past year, what were some challenges?
Definitely. Well, and it's easy to go to because this past year was, you know, my second year at this school and my second year in a row to create, some new courses, for this, you know, courses that's the first time they're being taught here and aren't necessarily being taught somewhere else. And so I absolutely love, and I've been doing that throughout my career, but, there's something exciting about being able to not just produce something, but to go back and enrich it and make it better. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this course for this past year, that being the first time doing that, there's things that went incredibly well and I'm very proud of, and I'm proud of my students for how they responded, but I'm probably more proud of my students for the progress they made in spite of sometimes my shortcomings or lack of planning. So identifying those things now, what really did go well? How do they actually learn? What did they actually learn? And how can I fill in the gaps for next year. I mean, it's
yeah
an important part of any, I would, you know, teaching any course at any point in time, but especially a new course.
Yeah.
It needs to be properly structured and
yeah
done well
yeah
up front.
I would think too, like early on, I remember the end of my first year teaching. I was much more like the mistakes I made felt so much more personal to me. Mm-hmm. And there was a certain insecurity there that now, you know, of course there are mistakes that happen. And I think part of just growing in any profession is the ability to like watch the replay and say, okay, that's why the fumble happened. And then kind of just getting up and moving on with, and it feels a little bit more, because you've seen so many failures, not just your own, but just teaching, nothing is more a human enterprise than teaching, because it's humans and humans reading humans. And you kind of just get, like, there's going to be mistakes, there's going to be fumbles, and you get up. And it right. seems to me summer is, you know, a time where you can sort of watch the replay in your
tape.
Own head. Yeah, go to the tape and just sort of move on. So here's the, maybe just a final question would be, what advice do you have for teachers? And it can be, you know, how they use their summer, but do you have any book recommendations or whatever as we look towards fall? It's hard to think of that. I went in a place the other day and it smelled like pumpkin spice lattes, and I was like, oh
good
man,
grief.
I don't want fall to be here yet.
No, it's like going to Hobby Lobby or something.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Yeah. Any general advice? You've been an administrator, a teacher for a while now. What advice do you have for maybe a younger teacher?
I think it's important to recognize and understand your strengths and your shortcomings, and to operate within your strengths. I mean, obviously, I would say with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that spiritual giftings do matter.
Yeah.
But also acknowledging what your weaknesses are and intentionally seeking to address those.
Hmm.
And so, you know, I don't have a set reading list of things because it's ever changing as I identify,
yeah,
you know, things that I need to do better. So finding good resources in those areas, or wow, I don't know as much about the Ammonites as I need to or want to.
I know everything I want to know about
that. That's
Ammonites,
why I come
yeah.
to you. Right. So
it's very little.
That doesn't happen just by accident, right? That
yeah.
is intentional. It's the product of reflection. It's the
yeah.
product of having people around you that you can trust to be honest with you, and, you know, speak to you, give you the truth and love.
Yeah.
I had a fantastic preaching professor in seminary, and, but he was very candid, and he said, I tell you these things because I am your friend, and I expect my friends to tell me the truth. If I look fat in this sweater, I want them to tell me I look fat in this sweater.
Yeah.
I will do the same thing with you. So intentional reflection and having the right people around you that you can trust to speak that truth in your life and lovingly
yeah.
Make all the difference between burning out and
yeah.
or just being stagnant. And realizing that you don't have anything to give to your students because there's nothing put in.
Yeah.
You know, your well is dry. You know, you burnt out, you flamed out, or you rusted out.
Yeah. And it's good corrective to me, because even earlier in my question, I said, you know, there's some people who just rest or prepare as mm-hmm. if resting
mm-hmm.
and having hobbies and stuff isn't preparation.
Right.
But the truth is, you know, if we came in, not that we could be brains on a stick, but even if we could, you know, you emulate who you want to be. And if you're not like a textured, interesting person who, you know, if you're just come in and you're just, you know, Shakespeare quotes, or you're just Bible, I mean, if you're just this knowledge
mm-hmm.
and you're not a person who's like just an interesting person who knows how to cook or knows how to do these other things, like, you're not going to be a good teacher.
Right.
You know,
and
actually.
Students
yeah.
aren't going to relate to that. That's not a real person.
Yeah.
And you miss when you do that, you miss opportunities for life change and
yeah.
for heart change. I mean, I think this for myself, and I would tell my teachers, and I would tell anyone who listened, if our students come every single day, and we fill up their heads. They're so big they can't fit their head through the door, and we've done nothing to change their heart, then we failed.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Education has failed.
Yeah, yeah, point. Yeah. That's exactly right. Who's your favorite teacher you've ever had? You said your preaching professor, but is that who would be your favorite teacher?
Actually, I would go all the way back to high school.
Really?
And I would say Mrs. Janice Pelham, who taught AP literature and creative writing.
Wow. What was it about her?
She was real. She was honest. She was passionate. She loved her subject, and she was a real person.
Yeah.
She held us to a high standard, but she wanted us to be as passionate about
the
subject as she was, and it came through in everything that she did.
Isn't that interesting? I sometimes think my favorite teacher, like the teacher made the biggest difference on me, was my in fourth, fifth grade, Mr. Burke. He was, I was in like, I don't know if it was called special ed, but like the class for kids who like would throw pudding at the wall and stuff, like eat glue. Anyways, that's just where they put me. And Mr. Burke was a great teacher. And as I think of like other great teachers, what's funny is, they don't have a ton of like necessarily pedagogical commonalities, but they were exactly what you said about Mrs. Pelham. They were really passionate. And, you know, Martin Lloyd Jones used to say preaching is just burning on fire in front of people. Mm-hmm. And I've known great teachers who were great with, you know, you're a big Harkness table person or really good with Socratic discussions, other teachers who are able to lecture, other teachers who are able to do projects or whatever. But that skill, though it can be refined, is never going to be ultimately what changes hearts. It's the ability to burn in front of a kid and actually be passionate about it, which is, you know, well, we were just talking to one of our math teachers here, like the ability to burn in front of kids with math. Like we get to teach Bible.
Right.
You know, can you imagine?
We did math.
I have no idea, but I hope the math teachers get paid a lot more than us because that's like a lot. It's a lot harder of a job, right?
Right.
We're rambling at this point, but my guest has been Will Weaver, who teaches Bible at Legacy Christian Academy. Will, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks so much for the opportunity. I really appreciate
it. You can find show notes. I'll try to link to that interview I did a few years ago with teachers, and you can follow us at kypurion.com. Thanks for listening.